Let's open together to page 45, or Psalms 45, not page 45. That's all right for the song book, but it won't do for this book. The 45th verse, chapter it is, 45th chapter, the first verse. My heart is inviting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Girt thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Wherefore God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thy garment shall smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. The oil of gladness above thy fellows. I want to talk with you just a few minutes tonight. I don't know just exactly what I'll say, but I want to say a few things to you. Try not to hold you long if you'll give me your attention. I guess it's probably hot out there. It's hot up here. I guess it's probably warm out there. I know that winter is setting in, but seems like it's still warm here. This gentleman back here, I don't know who he is. I believe he's been here with us before. I believe it's the same one that came with Bill the other night. Is that right, Bill? We're certainly glad to have him back with us tonight. Appreciate him coming out. This is his second visit with us. And we really appreciate having him here with us. All right. How many of you really believe that we're living in the last days? They sang that song, "We're living in the last days now." I wish some of them would learn it. I like that song. Somebody sent me a record of it not too long ago from over in Alabama. A little girl that was healed under the gospel tent where we was preaching years ago. She sent us a record of that, "Living in the last days now." I really believe that we're living in the last days now. I believe this is the last days, the very last days. If Brother Branham is right in his prediction, then this year will be the last year, perhaps, that we have to carry the gospel. It may go on over into the next year. If his prediction is right, we don't know whether he was speaking of the first of 77, or the middle of 77, or the last of 77. But he did make the statement that it might be, the calamity might come before 77. But he put a deadline on it by 77. So that means that this last year is coming up. Well, a lot of times, you know, in other words, the harvest is past. A lot of times we think of it like that. The harvest is past. The winter is here. And we're not saved yet. If he is right, the harvest is past. Is that right? The winter is here. And we're not saved yet. A lot of times we like to think of it like that. That's the way the scripture gives it. But in the light of what he has said, that 77 would be the last go-round. That would be the last year. 1977, the last opportunity for you and for me and for others to reach out in a merciful hand with the gospel to try to help somebody come into the kingdom of God. The last phase of the move of God coming up, if this isn't the last part of the gospel, then I wonder when it's coming. If this isn't the message of the latter rain that God promised to give to the church, then I'd like to know when the latter rain is coming in, wouldn't you? Amen. I'd like to know what time of life that God has reserved for the latter rain to come in if this isn't it. Brother Branham declared that there would be a latter rain that would come, and that that latter rain would make the church ready for the rapture, that it would be the gospel of Christ coming in the form of a teaching. Is that right? He said, and the latter rain shall be a teaching rain. Is that right? All right. When we think that this is the last part of it, we think of this as being the latter rain. Then where does rain come from? The Lord said in the time of the latter rain, if you will pray, I'll make bright clouds. And I know that clouds represent spirits, good angels and bad angels. There are clouds with silver linings, and then there's dark, fierce storm clouds. Isn't that right? We've used the terms that I'll cloud it and rain all over you. God refers to people as waters, and waters, when caught up into the elements, are congealed to some extent, moved over to a partial of ground according to the desire of God by the wind of a doctrine, spiritually speaking, and then melted down to water somebody's parched ground that they might bring forth the little fruits of the Spirit. Is that right? Have you ever felt caught up in God? You know, feel the Spirit of God come down on you and feel your spirit just caught up, you know, and you just felt like you wanted to do something for God and water somebody's ground to help them survive, you know, and bring forth the harvest for Christ. You ever felt like that? See, waters, we're bodies of waters, but when that great sunlight of God's glory gets to pulling on us, then we begin to vaporize into a spirit form, you know, and we get caught up into the heavenlies, and we no more the body, you know, down here, but then we feel like we're floating around up here, you know, somewhere. Is that right? So then if there is to be a rain, where is the rain coming from? I believe it's coming from the clouds. And where are those clouds? A lot of times it means thunder. And where there's thunder, sometimes there's some friction. There's lightning. He said, I've helped Satan's lightning fall from heaven, and when Calvary came and the veil was rent in twain and the dark cloud was separated from the good, and he put a firmament between the waters above and the waters below. A lot of friction in there. But Revelation said the heavens was open and I beheld the covenant, the ark of his testament. I believe that there's going to be a latter rain. I believe it's going to come from the thunders, don't you? I believe the thunders is what's going to bring it. Brother Branham said that within those thunders was concealed that which would rapture the church. If that is concealed within the thunders to rapture the church, then the latter rain must be within the thunders. And where there's thunder, it takes clouds. And where there's clouds, there's some rain. It has got to be the latter rain, because latter means the last part of it, and it certainly couldn't be the first part, could it? Even though he said he'd give the foreman the latter together, somebody would say, well, what do you think he meant by that? I think he meant he'd give us a double potion. I believe he said, I'll give you the first, which is the former rain, but when that latter rain comes, it's going to have all of it in it. It's going to be a double potion when it comes. Hallelujah. I ain't going to leave off any of the first that I give you. I'm just going to compile it, you know, compact it at the end of the rain and make it all come down together. I'm really going to give you rain like that vision I had when I said rain, rain, rain. And it looked like it was coming down with the buckets when the ladies had the long dresses on. So then, it is true that God is doing a new thing. It is true that God is sending down the latter rain. So I feel that we're privileged people. I feel that we are those that are beginning to move out into what the world calls infinity. They say, you know, there's an infinity. I don't believe there is an infinity, but they say there's an infinity. Somebody says, a poor ignorant fella. But they say that there's an infinity, and we're to move out into what they call the infinity. Is that right? Now, you understand what I'm saying? I don't believe there is an infinity. To me, that's just a terminology that science use. You know, they got all kind of definitions. A time definition and this kind of definition and a name definition and everything. And when they can't define it, they say that's the infinite. Is that right? In other words, we can't define that. So we say that's the infinite. Is that right? I believe that we are the people that's moving out into what they refer to as the infinite, though I don't believe there's any such thing as an infinite. I believe that that's their definition for it. I believe the sons of God, I believe that they can define anything, whether it's spiritual, natural, or wherever it's at. There is no infinite to the sons of God. We see beyond the veil. We know what's out in the world out yonder. That's just our everyday living out there. What they call the infinite and the undefined is just our everyday life. That's our everyday practice. That's our everyday rendezvous, as we would say, out there in that world. So there's no infinite to us. But we are the people, and this is the age to where people are moving into the infinite. They've suddenly come to the realization that this little ball of clay that they've got down here that they call an earth is just one among many multiplied thousands. Is that right? Is that right? I believe that they say there's something like, what, 10,000 million of galaxies or planets, that is. That is within view of the great telescopic, what do you call it, that they've got out in California? The great place of observation? That many, they say that they can see. But they say beyond that, that there is literally billions of them. If it's 93 million miles from here to the sun, then the question is what is beyond the sun? If it's 247,000 miles from here to the moon, we can get some idea that the sun is beyond the moon. But what is beyond the 93 million miles? What's out there? If scientists are so smart, if they know what they're doing, and they're little puny seminaries that sit around the corner, and they're little colleges where Professor BDD lives, if they're so smart, then where is the bottom of that thing out there? Where are the sides of it? Where is the top of it? Because God let them figure out through some kind of light year study that there's 247,000 miles to the moon. That don't mean anything. God just did that because that comes within their realms of their time element. That comes within the realms of revelation in the types and shadows of what they were supposed to read. But listen, as long as I stay within a wall, within some means of boundaries, as long as I got some realms of comprehension, I can comprehend the heights, the depths, and the widths of my existence. I'm all right. See, I can say it's 3,000 miles to California from Florida. I can say it's 247,000 miles from here to the moon. I can say from 12 o'clock to 5 o'clock. You follow me? But when I get out of the realms of those little boundaries, these little walls, these little human instigations, these little things that we piddle and paddle around in, like a bunch of children around in the edge of the water. When I excel that, when I exceed that, when I go beyond that, then what? Somebody said, now what do you mean, Brother Pine? You're talking crazy. I'm not talking crazy. I'm talking with good sense. Amen. Somebody said, but we don't plan to do that, but you're already doing it. You're already doing it. You've already broken to the atoms. You've already defined the atoms. You've already found there's a nuclear power that can blow the wall apart, but what are you going to do with it? You've already got beyond your walls, beyond your boundaries, beyond your abilities. Come on now. I said you're beyond your abilities. You don't have the ability to control things anymore. Scientists don't have the ability to control things anymore. They're scared half to death. They know that something is taking place, and they don't know how to control it. They don't know what to do with it. What is it? It's because we are living in the age to where we are going out into what is referred to as the infinite. They know it's out there. They know it's out there, but they don't know how high it is to the top of it, and they don't know how far it is to the bottom of it, and they never have learned how far across it is from side to side. You know why they've never learned how far it is to the top and how deep the bottom is? They thought they were pretty smart when they figured out that the ocean had a bottom to it. They thought that was pretty smart. But the Bible said God held all that in the palm of his hand all the time. When they figured out how high Mount Everest was, they thought that was the greatest, great accomplishment. But the Bible said he comprehends all the dust of the earth in just one measure. And then decided he wanted to weigh the mountains in a balance. Isn't that something? I said he just wanted to see how much the Rocky Mountains weighed. Has scientists ever done that? Little folks, little specks, little spots out here in a great world. And yet they feel so complete. They feel so secure. They feel so important. Isn't that right? Why do they feel so important? Why? Because Mr. JJJ gave somebody a DDD. And all the others around said, amen, amen. So be it. That's what you are from now on. You're a DDD. You see how silly it is? The Bible said, measuring themselves among themselves by degrees and by philosophy, they're not wise. And God has taken them in their foolishness. Is that right?
Amen.
Come on, folks.
Amen.
What is it? God has taken them in their own craftiness. Because they profess themselves to be wise, God turned them into a bunch of fools. And the Bible said, because by their wisdom they recognized not God and knew not God, then it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching, men should be saved. Preaching is a foolish thing. Did you know that? But the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. That's preaching. Even that's smarter than men. So then, when we think about time, the angel of the Lord comes forth. He sets one foot on the land and he sets one foot on the sea. Then he lifts his hand to heaven, as Revelation 10 says. And he swears by him that liveth forever and forever that time should be no more. We ain't gonna have time no more. You know, ain't gonna have time no more. You know, that thrills me. Hallelujah. Amen. When God put Adam in the garden, he didn't give him a timepiece, did he? He didn't give him a watch. He didn't give him a clock. He placed him in the garden, told him to enjoy himself. But he couldn't stay away from the tree that God forbid him to partake of. God sets us in a good place. And then
what God has forbidden.
Is that right?
What is it? God didn't give him a timepiece. God just stepped out of the eternities. And he looked around and he said, let there be. And the Bible said there was. God said, let there be light. And there was light.
Somebody said, where did it come from? I don't know. It had to come from God. It's the only place I could find it. The historian didn't write about it. He couldn't find out where it come from. Moses, he couldn't find out where it come from except God. Josephus kept a good record. He couldn't find out where it come from. And it's a fact that it wasn't there to start with. So God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be stars, and billions of planets came into existence. We studied this little old bitty ball down here that we call Earth, and we feel like we've really done something called we've measured how far it is from China over to America and so forth, you know, what kind of soul we need and all this kind of thing. And when we get through, we have defined some parts of one little bitty speck that is among billions and billions and billions and billions. How little man is. How little man is. Out there, they can't find the walls. They can't find the top. They can't find the bottom. Why? Why? If in this little world here, they know from 6 o'clock to 5 o'clock. In this little world, they've got measurements. They've got means. They've got comprehension. In this little world here. But God just stepped out of nowhere, as the world would say. Where did he come from? Who is he? How did he get here? Somebody said, oh, now be reasonable. God had to come from somewhere. They say, after all, you just don't take that kind of stuff. Saying he just was here. Come on, folks. Oh, you say nobody wouldn't talk like that, but they do talk like that. They do talk like that. Like the man over in Nebraska, the fellow said, God's just somebody who wants everybody to bow down to him, and I don't bow down to nobody. Can't you just see that? Like a mite on a chicken, you know, telling the chicken how he feels about the situation. He don't bow down to nobody. One peck from that chicken and there's no more mite. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? A speck in the universe talking back to God. Paul said, how can the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? If you wanted to make my nose look like a banana, I couldn't have done anything about it. I'm just thankful he had mercy on me, ain't you? Somebody said, bless God, I fast twice a week and I do this and I study my Bible and I live good and I belong to the Baptist church. I belong to the church of God. I belong to the Holy Church and I know I'm going to go. That's what the Jews did, you know. Now, what good is that to God? What good is that to God? If I fast every day of my life and pray every day of my life and give my body to be burned, what good is that to God? Well, he wouldn't even notice it. Somebody would say, now, Brother Pine, you mean to tell me that if I fast every day, whereas men can't do that unless he's in the presence of God like Moses, 80 days without food and water. But if I fasted and fasted, God wouldn't notice that. If I prayed and prayed, that wouldn't help the situation. It wouldn't help it one bit. They'd done all of that before Jesus ever come. It never helped the situation one bit. It took the blood of Calvary. It took Christ. It took the blood of the Lamb. Nothing could do it except the spilled blood of Jesus. It takes being humble. When you humble yourself to him, just say, Lord, I'm nothing. I can't do nothing. I never was nothing. I never will be nothing. I'm just a speck in the universe. All I can do is just say, have mercy on me. Like the man that beat on his chest, he said, I ain't been doing no fasting. I ain't been doing no giving. But he said, God, have mercy on me. And the grace of God come down to a broken, contrite spirit. Is that right? See, I'm trying to get a point over here. I'm trying to get a point over. And that point is that we can't do nothing. You are not anything. You can't do nothing. We fuss with the preacher. We fuss with our wives. We fuss with people. And
and we try to prove what we know. Paint you this picture that here's two people sitting over here. Brother Pike sitting over here, and another brother sitting over here. And here we are. We're just going, you know. We're just a fussing and a fighting. And I say, bless God, I know, and you don't know. He says, bless God, I know, and you don't know. And God looks down on both of us, sees that we're stupid as we can be. But if either one of us had any know about us, we'd fall down on our face in mercy, beg for the mercy of God, and straighten our wretched life out.
Amen.
But that's the way we spend our life. We fuss and we fight and we quibble. And we think, bless God, I know karate, I'll punch your nose in. Come on. Somebody say, you don't have to talk about things like that, but you do. In the day we're living in, you have to. Somebody said, don't mess with me. I know karate. Somebody said, sorry, I know jujitsu. But you know how I feel? I know Jesus. I know Jesus. Do you know anything about him? Do you know anything about him? He's the one you need to know. You can know everything and not know God, and you don't know nothing. You can know God, not know anything, know everything. Because God's everything. Is that right? To the world, God ain't nowhere. To me, he's everywhere. To the world, God ain't nothing. To me, he's everything. See, we're looking through different eyes. Is that right? And so then God just stepped out of nowhere, and he said, let there be light. And the Bible said there was light. He stepped out of nowhere, and he said, let there be some beautiful stars, and there were stars. He stepped out of nowhere, and he said, let there be some beautiful trees, and there was beautiful trees. He said, let the birds sing in the trees. Let the fish swim in the water. Let the grass cover the hillside. Let the animals roam through the forest. And let men multiply upon the face of the earth and subdue the earth and have dominion over it. Is that right? Who did all that? God. Somebody said, my, what a task. 6 days it took him to make this world, and he sat down and rested. 6 days. But according to science, what is it, 10,000 million that they can pull into this telescopic view? Folks, you're running way behind. He didn't just make this one little grove and sit down and rest. What about the other 10,000 million? He didn't just sit down and rest because he growed a few trees. See, where is the end of this thing? Where is the end of it? Somebody said, I don't know. I do. Scientists couldn't measure it, but I could. I said, they don't know where the bottom is, but I do. They don't know where the top is, but I do. And they don't know where the walls is, but I do. See, they're not smart at all. God is smart. God is smart. Somebody said, now wait a minute. What makes you think you know? Because I have an unction from the Holy One to know all things. To know all things. All things takes in that too. Somebody said, but now wait a minute, Brother Pike, that's too high for you. That's too far out for you. But the Bible said I was to comprehend the heights. See, that's up there where the top is. And I was to comprehend the depths. That's down where the bottom is. And I was to comprehend the width. That's over there where the walls are. Is that right? That's how I found out. You love the Lord? So then God just stepped out of nowhere. And God said, let there be. And the Bible said there was. Somebody said he just gracefully slung the stars from his fingertips. Just slung them out there and said, stay there. And they hang out there on nothing. Don't even have a string on them. Just hang out there just on nothing. Just stay there. One writer said he just lifted his hand, so to speak, and said to the great, raging, foaming billows of the sea, said, there shall your proud waves be stayed, and they don't never get over that. God, I'm talking about God. I said this morning, not a God, but the God. I'm talking about God. Folks, you don't know what you are. You don't know what you are. You don't know what you got. You don't know the ability God's given you. Jesus said, you're gods. old brother Moses began to realize who he was. A little old backward boy down there that was, he couldn't even talk right. Back over there in the backside of the desert, a nobody, just rambling around through the wilderness over there. And all of a sudden, one day, a bush began to burn. Somebody said, that bush was Israel. That's always being consumed, burning and never really consumed. Everybody fighting her, but she burns right on. And she don't burn out. But here was Moses, a great, great person. But he didn't know he was great. He didn't know. He didn't know they're born the proper child to bring Israel out. Here stood a human being. The lady said up here, God in another form. Here stood a human being, Moses. Why? Somebody said, you mean the carpenter's son? Well, we know who, where he was born. We know who he is. We know who his mother is. We know who his dad is. We know him. But here's Moses, a little boy saved by a little heart made of bulrush. And here he is, Moses. Somebody said, Moses, why, we know him. Elijah, old Baldy, we know him. Yeah, we know him. They said to Elijah, you know, go up, Baldy, go up, Baldy. We know him. But did they really know him? Did they really know him? Did they really know him? Look at some of your sons and daughters. You say, I know my son. He wouldn't do that. I know my daughter. She wouldn't do that. But just let the devil get a hold of them and let them get a little bit of dope in them and then see if you know them. Let the spirit of Satan get a hold of them. It's the same way with Moses. You say you know Moses, but wait till the Spirit of God gets a hold of Moses. You know that little old Samson? Just wait till the Spirit of God gets a hold of Samson. You know that little old boy? How, Brother Gary? Brother Eddie? But wait till God gets a hold of him. Wait till the Spirit of God begins to move. Do you know him as a son of God? Do you know him after the weakness of man? Do you know the preacher? Do you know your neighbor? Do you really know him? Somebody said, well, I know that Brother Gary. But the Bible said one son of God would outshine the noonday sun. Do you picture Brother Gary causing the sun to hang a veil over itself? Can you see that? Somebody said, well, that's a future project if he makes it. That's the way they do that, you know. They say that's a that's a future thing if he makes it. In other words, ain't got nothing to do with the Gary I know now. But that isn't the way the Bible reads, is it? That's not the way that it goes, is it? The Bible said, now, beloved, are you the sons of God. Is that right? Now you're the sons of God. Already you're the sons of God. Already you can't sin because the seed of God's in you. Do you know who you are? Do you know what you are? Oh, Brother Joshua said, stand still, son. Stand still, moon. Somebody said, I know old Brother Joshua, but when he stepped up there and he said, son, stand still, they decided they didn't know him like they thought they did. When old Brother Joshua lifted his hand and prayed to God, and the heavens began to sling hailstones down upon the earth, they suddenly realized they didn't know who Joshua was. They thought they knew who Joshua was. Be careful how you entertain strangers. Amen. Some have entertained angels unaware. For in heaven we're all as angels. How many know what I'm saying? In the spirit. Somebody said, now wait, let's just wait till we get there. I'm waiting on you if you get there. I said, I'm waiting on you. If you get there, I like it up here. It's nice. The Bible said we're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Not going to receive, have received. The Bible said God hath, not going to, already has translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. We're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. I'm sitting together, standing in heavenly places. Do you know each other? Do you know what you are? God said, let there be, and there was. Brother Joshua said, let there be, and there was. Moses said, let there be. to be, and there was. The old Elijah said, if I be a man of God, then let such and such happen. God stepped out in the little time cycle that we live in, the little boundary of our little minds, little finite minds were set up. And so then we reckon time from evening until morning, because Adam had fell from the garden. And we started a daylight and we started a darkness. That is, we started an inspiration of the mind of God, and then a dark sleep of the carnal mind that doesn't have God in it. Is that right? And everything that he says to us while we're heavy with sleep in this old carnal mind, we say, I had a vision, a dream. Is that right? We come to church heavy with sleep, and God speaks to us. And in that sleep, in that carnal mind, all of a sudden we become aware that we had a vision, that God showed us something. Is that right? Amen. I made the statement to you here the other night. Which of you knows when you go to sleep? Everybody can tell me when you went to sleep? Last night, if you went to sleep. Tell me what time it was that you went to sleep. Somebody said, well, I went to bed. No, I didn't say to bed. I said to sleep. Now, I said that to say this. I brought it out here one night. What am I trying to get at? I'm trying to say that you think you're awake when you're dreaming, but you're not. You're asleep. All of them was asleep at the midnight cry. Every one of them was asleep. You think you're awake. See, they didn't know when they went to sleep. They went hard and fast asleep. And you don't know when you go to sleep. You're doing all right, but all of a sudden you're asleep. And you don't know it. But I'll tell you what, when you wake up, you know that you've been asleep. Is that right? If some of you would wake up, if I could get you to wake up, then you would know that you've been asleep. And you would believe the thing I'm trying to tell you. Hard and fast asleep. All of them was asleep. Nobody was left. Only the watchman's on the wall and cried out, here comes the bridegroom. Wake up. Wake up. Trim your lamps. Get up. The midnight cry's here. Is that right? What is it? What is it? All of them. All of them. Had got careless. Careless. Gross darkness had covered the people. From evening until morning, from evening until morning, God said, you're in a night time. It's night. It's night. All of this is a dream. But he said, I'm bringing a Calvary. I'm bringing a Jesus. I'm bringing a Christ. And when Calvary comes, it's going to be the morning. It's going to be the first fruits of them that awoke. Like the little song they sang. They sang the song. The song we wrote, Mary had a little lamb, and the angels went to wake him up, to wake him up, to wake him up, to sleep no more. Somebody sang the song, I will awake to sleep no more. When I awake to sleep no more. Ooh, I like that, don't you? Child, I feel something when I say that. When I wake up to sleep no more. Amen, we need to wake up. God's wanting us to wake up, so we'll sleep no more. The night's dark. The nightmares has been horrible. But let's wake up. Wake up. What are we, sons and daughters of God? Who are we? We are eternal beings. We are gods. We are eternal. Made to live eternally. Made to rejoice forevermore, to enjoy the goodness of God. And so then man sets up his little time elements, his little boundaries, and it's from this to that, you know. But he's moved into the realms of the infinite. He's got beyond his ability. He can't control things anymore. And he's looking for somebody. And God's got a somebody. Did you know that? God's got a somebody. He's looking for somebody. The children have played around with the dynamite till they done got the caps about ready to go off. I said the children of this world have played around and wouldn't pay any attention to the sons of God. when the sons of God told them not to mess with it. But Junior says, I'll have you to know I'm 15 years old. I'll do what I want to do. But you say, Junior, you can't mess with that. Dr. DDB, you might be all puffed up and having a brainstorm, but you ain't out of your diapers. You can't mess with that. But he keeps piffling and peddling, piffling around until finally he comes up with the atomic energy, and now he don't know what to do with it. He's like a little boy with a hot potato and he can't get it out of his hand. He throws it over to Russia, and Russia throws it to China, and China throws it to Israel, and after a while, Israel's going to throw it on top of all of them. See, it's a sad situation, folks. It's a sad thing. But faith, we are sons of God. My, don't that do nothing to you? I said, I'm a son of God. Made to live eternally with eternal youth, eternal radiance, eternal power, eternal riches. Somebody said, Brother Pike, it just turns me up. I just wished I could make it. Don't be like that. Somebody said, when you talk about that, man, it sounds so good. I just think, oh God, why didn't I do right? Somebody said, I'm going to try harder. Don't do that. Come to the realization that Christ died for your sins, that he died to save you and give you eternal security. And all you've got to do is humble your heart and have faith in Calvary. Amen. And start rejoicing and praising God for what you are and for your benefits. And start enjoying them. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, if that's all there is to it, then I'll tell the world, why can't the scientists and everybody else do that? I'm not speaking of having something up here in your mind. I'm talking about believing with your heart. Surrender your heart to God. Rend not your garments, but rend your heart. Humble your heart. Humble your spirit. Realize who you are. Believe in your heart who you are. And start enjoying your benefits. Start putting the devil in the background. Say, Satan, get thee behind me. Is that right? Put him behind you. Put him under your feet. And so then the little time elements are out there. But scientists have come to the place now to where they've led us into an infinity, as they call it. What are we going to do? Man has got beyond his ability. He can't control things anymore. In other words, he done got 240,000 miles out yonder away from his planet as far as his mind's concerned. And I understand that Russia's already landed on Venus, landed something on Venus, which is called the morning and the bright and the morning star. And what they call Venus, the morning star and the evening star, same one being the same, is that right? You understand what I'm saying? In other words, they've gotten out of their boundaries. They've gotten away. Jordan, waters of trouble, waters of death, overflowing your banks, getting out of the river. She's running over her banks. She's getting out of her walls. She's getting out of her comprehensions. That's why the insane asylum is filling up with insane people. That's why they've got multitudes of people in the insane asylum. Why? Because they don't have any foundations anymore. They don't have any principles anymore. They don't have anything anymore. Used to, they had some kind of principles. They had some kind of understanding. They had some kind of religion. Some kind of a system. But it don't make no difference now what you say. You can say D.D., a Chick Jack Joan, a Jaw, or anything else. Every bit of it's in America. It don't make no difference. Paul said many sounds, none without distinction. It don't matter what you say. That's right. We're all mixed up. When the Chinese was over in China, and the Germans in Germany, than the Americans in America. We knew where we was going. We could talk each other's language. Is that right? But now there's no standards. There's no standards. We say A, B, C, D. That don't mean nothing. They tell me the Chinese alphabet's got over 300 ABCs, as we would call it. We spend our life making a machine to print a letter to tell us what it is. And then after we spend a lifetime getting it done, here comes the Chinaman and just scratches a few hen scratches, as we would call it. And it makes more sense than some of our ABCs. We spend many years telling our children to have good sense. We say, now look, son, have good sense. That's the moon. Nobody goes to the moon. So somebody comes by. A few years later, they take a trip to the moon. Come on, folks. We spend a lifetime saying, son, now be honest, make a living, work for a living. Then the schools come along and they say, be smart, don't work for a living, get an education. I mean, where are we going? We tell the folks that can't drink, they're not supposed to drink, not supposed to have whiskey and all this stuff in them. But then we set up liquor stores, get the taxes off of it, and make them drunk. They got the 30-proof brandy now for the children. Make it chocolate and banana, and I don't know what all the paper stated. Serve it right out of the icebox. Are you listening to me? I made a statement. You go to town, park your car, and they tell you you can't back out in a public street. But the law stands up there to protect everybody that backs out. You go down the road and back out in the public street to give you a ticket. You go in the middle of town and back out in the public street and somebody hits you to give that man a ticket. I mean, where are we going? Where are we going? You can't vote for anybody anymore and get them. They've got the thing fixed. They put in whoever they want to. There is no system. There's no understanding. You understand what I'm saying? How do you believe the Lord's coming back? When is he coming back? Somebody said, I don't know. Might be the midnight cry. Might be the cock crowing. Come on. Or it could be high noon. But he's coming back at one of them. How in the world will he ever do that? They spend 6 months in darkness over yonder in the land of the midnight sun. How's he going to get back at the midnight cry? How's he going to come back at the cock crowing? When it's daylight over here, it's dark over there. Come on, folks. See, where is the standards? Where is the understanding? No wonder people are going crazy. But there is a way to know. There is a way to know. Isn't that right? So then, and I'm going to close in just a few minutes now. But so then, here's what we come to. We have come to what we call the infinite. We broke the boundaries of human comprehension. We've got outside the case and the chick's pecked his way through the shell. We've come on the outside now. We're looking at a great world on the outside that we can't comprehend, that we don't know nothing about. And we've tried to tell ourselves, because we know ABC and 1, 2, 3, that we're all right. But now that we've got yonder in the great world of infinity, what are we going to do? Talking about building cities out there. Talking about this world here being blown to bits and escaping by going out there. What are we going to do? You know what it is? Before there was ever a timepiece given, before there's ever a 1 o'clock and a 2 o'clock and a 3 o'clock, there was a vast eternity. And when that little time, space, or time element was incorporated in our lives, from that time on we had a little space in the great eternities that we could comprehend, a boundaries that we could run to and fro in. Like a kid within a fence, you know, and mom and daddy looking after him. But now we got big enough to climb the fence and want to see what's on the other side. And we wander too far away and mom and dad is not older. And we don't know where the rest of it is. Because all we used to is being inside of our little fence. Now we're longing for mom and daddy. Now we're looking back at the good old days. Isn't that right? But what has happened is the angel of God, the Bible said he set one foot on the land and one on the sea and said, time shall be no more. We're going to speak time out of existence. It was spoken into existence, so we're going to speak it out of existence. That time is nothing but a human concept. That the word infinity is nothing but a human concept. That education is nothing but a human concept. If he was in China, you'd say King Zhong Zhao. Because that's a human concept. Are you listening? It's nothing but a human concept. Black folks and white folks and yellow folks, it's nothing but a human concept. To God, they're human beings. What is it? It means that time shall be no more. When we get beyond the constraint of time, that is when we get beyond the intellectual discernment of time, the intellectual comprehension of time, when we get beyond that, what have we done? We have eradicated time. We've done away with time. When we jump over the boundaries of time, when we go out into the infinite, then time is no more out there. There is no place in the infinite for time. Look, when they started to shoot at the moon, what did they have to do? They had to change their time system. Come on now. They had to change it. Why did they change it? Instead of saying 1 year, 2 years, they had to come up with so many years compacted into one thing and call it a light year. Is that right? And figure time according to light years. Why? Because the Bible said Antichrist would change the times and change the seasons. So then, when man got beyond his ability to comprehend, got beyond the time means and measurements, that meant time was over. That meant somebody said, oh, wait a minute, Brother Pike, you can't do that. But I can do it. I can do it. Somebody said, but you can't do that. Don't you know there's people out there, they're still time creatures. They live 50 years, they live 60 years, they work 8 hours a day, they eat 3 times a day. No, we're coming beyond that, folks. We're coming beyond that. Men eat when they take an ocean now. They used to have a system. They eat breakfast, they eat dinner, they eat supper, they went to bed. They slept, they got up, they went to work. Now they work whenever they take a good notion. They eat if it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I have to admit, sometimes I go to the icebox at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's how I know it. You understand what I mean? In other words, they're not time creatures anymore. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? They're still human beings. No, they're changing into spirits. They're changing into demons and into devils. They're leaving the world of human anatomy. And they're going beyond that. They're changing into a creature that is predestined to be in what they call the infinite. Somebody that's to be in the eternities out yonder, where the flame is not quenched and the worm dieth not. See, they're getting out of the boundaries of time and the coordination and the sequence of life and begin to realize that they are moving into another world. That's why there's so many witches. So many of these people, warlocks, all of these things, like the boy that testified to you the other night, he said he'd been mixed up with a fortune teller. He said it's been from one fortune teller to another. Even the presidents, even the leaders are counseling with fortune tellers like Saul did. Why? Because the Spirit of God has left. The Spirit of guidance has been taken away from them. The days of grace is coming to an end. and they don't know what to do. Even the church is starting to peddling everything from peaches to bananas to try to keep the business going, because that's what it is, not God's business. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, they're changing into another world, going into another world. The span of government, 200 years, it's over. Another world is coming in. The days of Noah, that was one world. Then after that, another world. After this, another world. You understand what I'm talking about? An evolving of the actions and deeds of God. We're going into another state of mind. Listen, a world only consists within the realms of comprehension. A world only consists of a mind. A world is no more than a mind. The body's a carrier that carries a mind, just a mind, either a God mind or a man's mind or a devil's mind. It's a world. It's a mind. Paul said, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, transformed his mind by faith, and appeared in glory. I tell you what, I wish we had some time tonight to go into some things concerning Satan transforming himself into an angel of light, and you'd understand what I was saying. But look at it. They've jumped over the boundaries of time. That means that time is going to be no more. It's moving out now, and eternity is moving in now. That's why I tell you that you're sons of God. As long as I believe, as long as I give my mind to the elements of the world, magically elements, as long as I believe in time, I'm a time creature. When I believe in eternity, I'm an eternity creature. Is that right? I'm an eternal creature. I believe in time, then I bring myself under the subjection of time. When Eve believed in God, she was under the power and magnificence of God. When she got another mind from the tree of knowledge, she came under another constraint, another power, another spirit. You see what I mean? That's why God tells you to keep those dirty things out of your mind. Bring every thought into subjection. I'll feed you the fruits of your thoughts. The fruits of your thoughts, that's the world you live in. Eve read, she ate the wrong fruits. The fruits of her thoughts was wrong. She ate them. You follow me? Why was Jesus born in a manger? He come down from a heavenly place. Why? To be born in a manger. To show the membership of the body of the church that had fallen from its lofty state as the Son of God in Adam and fell down into the barnyard, into the stable, and was clothed with the skins. Is that right? Became relative to a beast, bearing the image of the earthly, which is the beast. Is that right? Waiting to bear the image of the heavenly that was lost in the garden. The Son of God, the identity lost. Jesus found that identity when he came and said he was the second man, Adam. Is that right? Adam was called the Son of God, coming to restore that identity. Are you listening to me? So then it is the mind. There's something taking place. Morning came when Jesus got up to sleep no more. So then they've got over. I'm not even going to get hardly started tonight. But they got over. They got over the boundaries. They've gone over the boundaries. Time is fading into nothing. Time is fading away into eternity. This little carcass that we've been walking around in, this barnyard down here, we're ready to get up out of the stable and go home to be with God. It's over. The Bible says that prodigal with fame and filled his belly with the husk. But all of a sudden he realized it was a father's house. He realized he wasn't a brute beast made to be taken and burned. Is that right? So then they're over the boundaries. They're over the boundaries. They've gone beyond the comprehension of time. They've got beyond it. Now where are they at? Where are they at? They're back in the same condition that they was before time ever set in. The only error of the whole thing is that when Adam was back there, Adam was with God. And Adam had a God mind. But now they've come back to the same thing, and they don't have a God mind. Now, where are they at? They've gotten into infinity. They're moving out under the where there's no bottom. They're moving out there to where there's no top. They're moving out there to where no walls is. They're moving out into the bottomless pit.
Amen.
Are you listening?
They're moving out into a bottomless pit. Somebody said, well, everybody ain't going to the moon, Brother Pye. Listen, folks, listen to me. Try to understand what I'm saying. You don't have to go to the moon in a spaceship. When they start indoctrinating you and building a mind in you, your mind starts excelling the boundaries of your basic principles of life. Can you start loosening yourself from within the walls of your protection? Somebody's leading you out of the fence where mom and daddy can watch over you. Are you listening? Your mind is going out there. Your children. Somebody says, well, I don't see that. Well, tell me one thing. Why is it that they're winding up hippies? Why is it that they're taking dope? Why is it they think that is an old fogey? Why is it they won't listen to what mother says? Their minds is gone. High-minded in the last days, the Bible said. Up there in the heavens somewhere, up there in the elements, they're becoming a spiritual being. They're leaving the carcass. They take trips by shooting dope into them. Amen. Young men seeing visions. Are you with me? Amen. That's what's happening to the church. See, they're going beyond the boundary. That means this world is at an end. It means this world is at an end. When you jump the boundaries of time, that means you don't have a world anymore. This world to them now is just becoming one little ball among billions of them. You see what I mean? You see what I mean? Shepherd made that opening so that we could go through it. But he said, if any man come in any other way except by the door, any other way, he'll be bound hand and feet because he don't have the wedding garment of the body of the Lord Jesus. He'll be cast into the what? Somebody tell me. Say, did he cast into the what? Into the outer darkness. Isn't that what that is out there? Isn't that what that is out there? The bottomless pit. He said if they couldn't go into the door, if they couldn't go into the mind of Jesus Christ, if they couldn't get the revelation, then he said, I'll put them in the infinity and turn them into the bottomless pit. Is that right? I'm going to close here, but somebody think on this till we get back again. Where are those demons at? Come on. Where are the devils and the demons? The Bible said they wander through dry places, seeking rest and can't find it. Where are they? Said they're the prince of the powers of the air. Is that right? Satan is the prince of the powers that's in the air. Where are they at? They're up here above us. Where is that at? Out into the infinity. Out there in the wandering of that world, the darkness, the outer circle, the outer circumference of God's mind, the outer circumference of God's comprehension. They're not within the mind of God, which is the world of God. They're out there in their own world, in the mind of Satan, cast into the outer darkness. When you say outer darkness, the mind of Christ is light. Turn my people from darkness to light. When you're out of that mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're out there in scientist's mind, out there in the carnal mind, out there in the human reason, out there with your own ideas, out there in the outer darkness. I want you to stand with me. A lot of things I'd like to say. Jesus said we're dull of hearing. But folks, I may sound foolish, but there's one thing you've got to admit. There is a beyond somewhere. There is something out there, Brother Charlie, and they don't know nothing about it. They can't figure it out. They can't figure it out, but they know it's out there. They know it's out there. So why can't they find the bottom? Because Jesus said there wasn't no bottom to it. Is that right? Somebody said, well, then where do you find the foundations? In the city. Abraham said there was a city with foundations. Is that right? Why can't they find the bottom? Because to them, there is no bottom. You understand? Ever learning, never able to come to the bottom. Or the knowledge of the truth, the foundations. Isn't that right? Other foundations or bottoms can no man lay except that which Jesus laid. That was a teaching of the 12 apostles. Is that right? Their minds don't have a foundation. They are wandering spirits. Spirit is a mind. Mind is a spirit. Their spirits are wandering.
No boundaries, no limitations, nothing to hold on, nothing to govern, nothing to control, no way to comprehend heights, depth. They're just ever learning, books and books. Up at the bookstore the other day, just books and 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 books. You understand what I'm saying? I land at the books. A bookstore over here and a bookstore over yonder, a bookstore over yonder. Books and books and books and books and books. What is it? Everybody's trying to tell you what the situation is. But they don't know. They don't know because they've rejected the chief cornerstone. They don't know because they had not a love for the truth. He turned them over to reprobate mind. They rejected the truth. So then they're writing a world full of books. Everybody's reading a book. Somebody reads this book and they said, did you read that book? Did you see that film on television? Did you hear what the warlord had to say about it? You follow me? And everybody is looking to somebody. Is that right? Everybody is looking to somebody. When the Bible said in that day, no man shall save you. No man. No man. No man shall save you in that day. No one could loose the seals. How many believe you're sealed under the day of redemption? We sang the song, the day of redemption is nigh. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Folks, I love you. I want to help you, but this is a serious thing. This is a serious thing. Let's sing this chorus together. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the to you could go to a psychiatrist, you know. The psychiatrist, he'd help you get your balance. He'd say, so many peas and so many beans, so many potatoes. You know, a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and you seesaw up and down and stay balanced. But then the hippies come along and they decided that the psychiatrist was unbalanced, so they kicked him out. And the psychiatrist joined the hippies and thought their life was a better way than his balanced seesawing. So now you can't even go to them no more. But you can hold on to Jesus. Jesus is the Christ. And the Christ is the Word. And the Word is the Spirit. And the Spirit is the revelation. That's what John called it. That's what John called it. Let's sing it again. I'll go with... Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ. That's what you need, is the mind of Christ. The transformating power of the Almighty God. The transformating power that will transform heaven and earth. Transform you. The mind of Christ that spoke all things into existence. The mind of Christ by faith. Transformating our own minds, our own bodies. By faith, transforming our own surroundings. While the world is waiting for the manifestation of that mind that's in the sons of God,
to set the world into its original orbit, to bring it back into its rightful place. It's your inheritance, the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, the greatest inheritance that you'll ever receive. The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, the revelation of the Lord. I'll go.